Good morning, everyone. How are we all going? Hello? Good. Good to see you all. Just checking everybody's here. Doing a roll call. You're all here. You're in the right place. Father, we thank you this morning for your goodness and your kindness. We thank you, Lord God, that you watch over everybody. You watch over their families. But Father, you watch over your word and you perform it, Lord God. Father, I just pray that faith would arise in the hearts of your people, Lord God, that no matter what they're facing, Lord God, and that we would take encouragement from your scripture this morning. As your scripture that says that those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. This I declare about the Lord. He alone is my refuge, my place of safety. He is my God, and I trust him. For he will rescue me from every trap and protect me from deadly disease. He will cover me with his feathers. He will shelter me with his wings. His faithful promises are my armor and protection. I will not be afraid of the terrors of the night, nor the arrow that flies in the day. And I will not dread the disease that stalks in darkness, nor the disaster that strikes at midday. Because you have made him your refuge, your place of shelter. So, Father, we thank you that you are our refuge, our place of shelter. So we will not be afraid. Bless your people this morning. And Father, I just pray that for everybody that needs healing, Lord God, they would receive it now in Jesus' mighty name. And we pray and say, amen. So this morning, we're just going to finish off the last in this four-part series on Honor's Reward. And you know that we've been doing this series based on the book by John Bevere, Honor's Reward. And the whole purpose is to understand that God wants us to be blessed in our lives, but there is a reward when honor reigns. Now, of course, these things can get a bit tricky because you start hearing things that honor your parents, because it is the Lord says honor your mother and father, and then of course the other scripture is that honor civil authorities, and sometimes that might gristle with us. And I want to say sometimes when that gristling happens, when there is a hesitation in your heart, when you feel like, oh man, I don't necessarily agree with that. That's your opportunity to go and say, Lord, what's really going on the inside of me? Because it is normally an indication that the Lord has, there are just some parts that might need a bit of changing in your system. And so the gristling that happens on the inside of us is a sign that something is not right, and that's your opportunity to go away and to speak to the Lord and to say, Lord, this is how I feel about this. Help me to see things in your light. So we are not going to necessarily rely on our emotions, because if we rely on our emotions, we're not going to get really far in life. And what will happen is that we'll end up having dysfunctional relationships. It's like this. It's like somebody says in the playground when I'm, if I was a young person, and said, oh, geez, you've got big ears. And so now all the kids laugh at me and say, oh, Stephen has got big ears. And of course, being children, they say they just watch the cartoon Dumbo, the elephant with the big ears. And everybody starts calling me Dumbo at, hey, Dumbo, how are you? That becomes my new name. And so guess what I do? As a five-year-old, the way I fix that is to put on a hat. Because I'm hoping that if they don't see the ears, I don't get the harsh comments that people would normally throw my way. That's nice for a five-year-old, a six-year-old. But what happens if somebody is now 30 years old and 40 years old and those things are not addressed? It will create dysfunction in your life. This is why it's important that when something is said and it gristles, it just makes you feel some type of way. That's your opportunity to say, Lord, something is going on the inside of me. Rather than dismiss it and say, this is rubbish, take that as your opportunity. The next time you sit with the Lord and say, hey, God, this is how I felt when that was said. Amen. So today, as we read the scripture that we are going to read, I want you to see yourself and place yourself in this story. So in Luke chapter 10, verse 25, it says, and a certain lawyer, an expert in Mosaic law, which is the scriptures, stood up to test him, and the him he was being tested here was Jesus, saying, teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus said to him, what is written in the law? How do you read it? And the man replied, you see, he answered a question here with a question. And he says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind and your neighbor as yourself. Jesus said to him, you have answered correctly. Do this habitually. Everybody say habitually. And you will live. But he, this is now the lawyer, wishing to justify and vindicate himself, asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? And then Jesus replied, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he encountered robbers who stripped him of his clothes and belongings, beat him, and went their way, unconcerned, leaving him half dead. Now, by coincidence, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed on the other side. Likewise, a Levite also came down to the place and saw him and passed by on the other side of the road. But a Samaritan who was a foreigner who was traveling came upon him, and when he saw him, he was deeply moved with compassion for him and went to him and bandaged up his wounds, pouring oil and wine on them to soothe and disinfect the injuries. And then he says he put him on his own pack animal and brought him to an inn. Next day he took out some money to take care of him, blah, blah, blah. And then he says, this is now Jesus saying, which of these three do you think proved himself a neighbor to the man who encountered the robbers? So the man answered, the one who showed compassion and mercy to him. Then Jesus said to him, go and constantly do the same. When we talk about honor, we talk about honor is about seeing value in somebody. It's about honoring. Honor is recognizing and responding to the God-given value in other people. We have the priest and the Levite. They saw a man in need and passed by, not because they didn't see him, but because they didn't see him as worthy of their time, effort, or, you know, interruption that would come upon their lives. The Samaritan, on the other hand, he saw a stranger, possibly an enemy, and honored his humanity with compassion, sacrifice, and action. So what we see from the Samaritan is honor in action of somebody else. Honor is shown in action. The religious leaders, who were expected to be the most honorable, yet the actions dishonored the man and ultimately dishonored God. Because this is what people normally say. What kind of a Christian is that? Or what kind of a God do they serve if that's the way that they act? There is a certain expectation that people have about Christian people, that they are supposed to be, you know, when they're the ones who shouldn't get offended, even though we do get offended. But there's this thing that people will always ascribe to God and say, or can we hand out those notes? Thank you. This is just notes for your own following, for your Connect group discussions, and for your personal reflection. So that's the thing. There's an expectation that the priest, this is the top of the top, that his response was going to be different than somebody who did not know the Lord. The unfortunate part is that they acted in a way that was contrary to what they professed with their mouths. This is why you find it very interesting when you see a sticker on the back of a car in front of you saying, Jesus loves you. And the moment you cut them off, you hear, beep, 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 beep. You know, they're blowing the horn and they're shouting at you and, you know, putting their hand out of the car and throwing up so many signs. So our actions, it's not what we say, it is how we act that we show that we are honorable people. The Samaritan, who was an outsider, demonstrated honor by treating the guy with mercy, dignity, and care without expecting anything in return. And so we know that the story then ends with a challenge. Jesus gives a challenge. He said to the guy, go and do likewise, like the Samaritan has done. Honor isn't a profession of the mouth. It's a position of our hearts. This is why you can wear many t-shirts that say wonderful things, that quote scripture. You can have beautiful tattoos of scripture on your body, on your face. That means absolutely nothing. It's really what your actions do. What do your actions say? Our understanding of the scriptures should translate into concrete action. So that means that this Mosaic teacher, the guy, the expert in the Mosaic law, he understood the scriptures back and forth, but he was trying to wriggle himself out of any personal responsibility about stuff. So that means that as we get to grow in the things of the Lord, our understanding of scripture should translate into concrete actions. Because the good man here was a Samaritan, Jesus is drawing a strong contrast between those who knew the law and those who actually followed the law in their lifestyle and in their conduct. And so I wondered this morning, which one are you? Besides, of course, the robber. Don't see yourself as a robber. No, the guy was beaten up. Now, you could feel downtrodden by people, yes, of course. But which one are you? Do we honor others only when it's convenient to do so? Do we pass by because of pride, prejudice, pressure, unforgiveness? So remember, this guy was trying to find a reason as to, this is why he asked the question, and so who is my neighbor? Or are we living out honor even when it's inconvenient, even when it's costly, or it's countercultural? Because remember that the Samaritan here was considered an outcast by the Jewish people. But he's the one who showed that he followed the law in his lifestyle and his conduct. And so perhaps for some of you this morning, the idea of honoring parents is painful because of what you experienced growing up. For others, honoring government or spiritual leaders feels impossible because of disappointment, abuse of power, and hypocrisy. I get up here and I say all these things, and then you find out that I got four wives. You'd be like, what kind of a person is that? I do not have four wives. Oh, you know, let me clarify that. But I'm saying, this is what the hypocrisy is, that I profess something with my mouth, but my life is contrary to the words that I speak. And therefore, yes, you would get naturally disappointed, abuse of power. You take position and you misuse it for personal gain. So then we feel disillusioned with leadership. So today, I'm not asking you to pretend the pain is not real. The issues that you might have had growing up, I'm not asking you to pretend that that was not real. But in the parable we've just read, Jesus doesn't focus on whether the man deserved help. He focuses on whether the listener is willing to become a neighbor. The question for you that might hinder your ability to honor because of the offense that you've suffered in your life, what Christ is saying to you this morning is that, are you willing, just as the Samaritan was able to help that person, are you willing to let go? Are you willing to forgive? Because we know that sometimes unforgiveness will hinder you honoring somebody. Because honor begins with who I am, not who the other person is. The Samaritan honored someone who was not from his tribe, not from his ethnic, could have been an ethnic or religious enemy. It was inconvenient. This person had no ability to repay him, because it means that when the robbers took, they took everything. But his response was with compassion, not because the man was worthy, but because his own heart was yielded to God. So our biblical honor isn't about us agreeing with someone or endorsing their behavior. It's about recognizing God's principle and posture in how we treat people. So that means that the same way we have to get into this thing that we treat people, we are impartial. So the way we treat a super wealthy person is the way we treat those that are, you know, of not so well circumstances in our lives. So honoring a parent does not mean pretending they didn't hurt you. That's not what I'm saying. But what it might look like for you is forgiving them, setting boundaries respectfully, or praying for them rather than gossiping about them. One of the things that if you want to sort of like not deal with offense in your life, when somebody offends you and you know they don't really like you, just get into this habit of saying, Lord, I just bless them. May you increase them. May they do well in their lives. Because that immediately gets rid of offense in your heart. It shifts the way that you think about things. Honoring authority doesn't mean staying silent in injustice. It means we disagree without dishonor. We stay prayerful and not slanderous. Half of you maybe this morning are feeling happy, and the other half are probably not feeling happy this morning. So this, you know, I tell you, last night was something else. But we live in a great country. We live in a great country. I'll leave it at that. So it says, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. When somebody does something against you, hey. This is why the Bible, you know, sometimes is not necessarily, the words of the Bible can pierce our hearts. Because what it says that the Bible is sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing between bone and marrow through the intents and thoughts of people. So it really cuts to the chase. So that means is that if there's things in our lives that, oh my goodness, I'm not particularly happy about a certain scripture, that's what the Bible does. So we need to do business with the Bible and with the Lord and say to him, God, this is hard for me. This is why that scripture that says, if you bring your offering to the altar and all of a sudden you recognize that you have an issue with a brother or a sister, what does it then say you do? Leave it at the altar and then go deal with your issue, and then guess what you do? Then you come back. But I know that a lot of us just don't do that. We just sort of like say, oh, here you go, Lord. Boom. I can get stuffed about my brother or my sister. Honor in our lives is a reflection of God's nature in us, not a reward for other people's good behavior. The one thing that we have an ability to do this morning, you are the one who gets to choose. Because of all those three people, one of them, they all made choices. They made a deliberate choice to move away, to not pretend as if, see, that's the thing. They knew that this man was beaten, because if robbers set upon this man, he would have been bruised. They probably would have taken his clothes, stripped him of his shoes, taken his bags, and he would have been badly beaten. So they could visibly tell. But they chose to ignore. And I wonder, for a lot of us, do we ignore when we have got some deep issues against some people? Everyone has got a choice to make. The priest, Levite, saw and passed by. The Samaritan saw and stopped. The man in the ditch didn't change for all those three people. It was all the same person, but they all responded differently. Their hearts revealed who they truly honored. Which one are you becoming this morning? Or should I say, which one are you? Honor in our lives is the outflow of the fear of God. Honor is the visible expression of the fear of God. So we know that to fear God is to hold him in the highest regard. And honor is how that reverence shows up in our decisions, in our relationships, and in our leadership. Because without fear, we will slip into familiarity, compromise, and dishonor. So whether we fear God or not is never tested when people are honorable towards us, when we're all high-fiving and we're all getting along. It is the moment that somebody checks you that then determines, do you really honor that person? Because the fear of God is about honoring the person's, his or God's authority, of course, and not the person. So that means that we could be high-fiving and getting along, just like you with your boss. Yeah, you're all getting along. You know what it's like? It's like you are in a job and you're all just, let's say, accountants. And then one of you gets promoted to the manager of the accountants. Now, the relationship automatically changes. So now, we're no longer on the same level. Now I got to check you. You know the work that you did, Charlie? That wasn't good work. Or the way you spoke to that client. And now, whether you honor me, because just yesterday, we were boys. But today, I'm the boss. So do you sort of like see, that's when we see So when I withhold honor from flawed authority because of offense, I am showing that I fear people more than I fear God. But when I honor in spite of pain, I reveal my trust in God's justice and sovereignty. In 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 23 to 36, I'll paraphrase. Eli confronted his sons for their immoral and irreverent behavior at the temple. They were dishonoring the offerings of God and sleeping with the women who served at the tent of meeting. Though Eli rebukes them verbally, he does not restrain or remove them from office. And so then God sends a prophet to don't worry, this is just a paraphrase of that. So God sends a prophet to declare judgment. It says that Eli's household will not be cut off, and God will raise up a faithful priest who honors him. So what we see from this story is that the fear of God requires honoring what is holy. Because in verse 29 it says, "Why do you honor your sons more than me?" Eli is rebuked for prioritizing his family loyalty over reverence for God. Fearing God means that you treat his house, his word, and his people with respect. Eli feared the fallout with his sons more than he feared God's judgment. So when you fear God, you won't compromise your spiritual integrity to keep peace with people. The fear of God is demonstrated through action, not just words. He confronted his sons and he says, "No, my sons, it is not a good report. If someone sins against the Lord, who can intercede for them?" He takes no corrective action. He was so passive, which shows a lack of godly fear. Because the fear of God requires decisive obedience, even when it's uncomfortable. The fear of God in our lives compels correction, repentance, and accountability. So when you have a brother or sister in the church who comes to you and says, "Hey, I'm noticing these days your behavior is X, Y, Z," don't get upset at them, because they're probably doing it because they care for you. Because there has to be. This is why always do your life with somebody else, so they're not doing it by yourself. This is why the scripture in Ecclesiastes says that two are better than what? One. Because if they fall, if one falls, there's nobody to help him. But if somebody else, if one person falls, the other person is able to help them up. Saying the right thing isn't enough. The fear of God will compel correction, repentance, and accountability. God rejects those who treat him with contempt. So this is what this tells me, that if I revere the Lord, 2 years ago, I went to a John Maxwell seminar in Sydney. And, you know, normally the John Maxwell team runs courses, you know, things that you can join in every week. And so a lot of the people there were complaining and saying, "Oh, you know, it's in America, and by the time it starts, it's 2 a.m. here." And the guy who is the president got up and said, "All those are just excuses. If you really desire to learn, it don't matter what time it is. You're going to get up and learn." If we really reverence and care about the Lord, I wonder, what does our conduct say about us when we pitch up a church at 9:15 or at 9:20? When the service starts at 9 o'clock. Or we don't turn up for prayer when the call has come out for prayer. Or when the call has come out to give, to hoard something, we withhold whatever it is. I'm not here to sort of like make you feel bad. But I'm saying, if there was the King of England was coming here and it said that he was arriving at 9 o'clock, those doors would close at 9 o'clock. Because you don't come at 9 when the King of England is coming. You are here. They tell you what time you should come. And because you've been given an invite by the king, guess what you're going to do? You will come early. So value is seen in how we lift up things. Eh? If I revere him, then I'm going to do my best to pitch up and show up. The fear of God in our lives leads to God's favor and enduring legacy. Because God then says, because the priest didn't do what he was supposed to do, he said, I will raise up for myself a faithful priest who will do according to what is in my heart and my mind. And therefore, Eli and his son's opportunity disappeared because they failed to fear the Lord. Fearing God should not be a scary thing to us. What it basically is that it's bringing us into alignment with his heart and opens the door to lasting influence and favor in our lives. And that's what we're after. So I'll just get the team to come back up. And so we've spoken about honoring your wives. That's a very important thing for husbands. Maybe at another time I'll talk to the wives. But today I'll talk to the husbands. That you honor your wife. And that's an important thing. And one of the ways you can, you know, honor them is probably by the way we try and speak to them. Because sometimes it says, do not be harsh with them. Let's not be harsh with them. Let's try and be gentle. And you know what? I'm also speaking to myself. One of the things I try to do in my own life to show that I honor my wife, I don't get myself something. And my wife has, if I get myself a pair of headphones, guess what my wife is getting? She's getting a pair of headphones. Now, if I could afford a car, she would be getting a similar car. But because it's only headphones I can afford, guess what she's getting? She's just getting headphones. But if it's a computer, I get a new one, I get her one as well. If it's a watch, she gets the watch as well. Because what I'm also saying to myself is that when my children, they can't just see their father with the good things and their mother with the old things. The only part where that doesn't work, that is when it comes to shoes. I'll be honest and confess that. So when I buy myself a pair of shoes, she doesn't necessarily get one. But you get my point, is that we try and esteem them and show them. And also, let's speak into their lives. Let's speak the hope of God because they incubate the things of God. So let's speak hope, let's speak faith into our wives' lives. So above all, honoring as we're finishing here. Yes, we're supposed to honor civil authority. The word tells us that we're supposed to honor our children. We honor everybody. Even if we cannot honor our wives above honoring God. Remember the time when Moses tried to honor his wife above God? Guess what nearly happened to him? I think we need to do a Bible study. Oh my God. He nearly got killed because he was told to circumcise the what? The children. The first son was circumcised. Probably the mother intervened and said, no, 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 no for the second one. And then it says the Lord had come to kill Moses. And then the wife quickly circumcised the young boy and threw it on Moses. Graphic, I know, for a Sunday morning, but anyway, those are not my words. Eh? So above all, we honor God above everyone. Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to kill his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. He answered, Here I am. The Lord said, Do not reach out with the knife in your hand against the boy and do nothing to harm him. For now I know that you fear God with reverence and profound respect, since you have not withheld from me your son, your only son of promise. Abraham's willingness to lay Isaac down was the highest form of honor, and it became the doorway to divine provision, legacy, and blessing. And I wonder that our desire to hold on to beef or issues, I wonder what doorway that is hindering us from going through. What provision that it's stopping us from having. What kind of life that we can live because we are holding on to the things that people have done against us. And so this morning as we stand, if you're running from God, He's not trying to hurt you. He's calling you into deeper reverence, trust, and respect for Him. We're going to do two things this morning. I'm going to pray a prayer of invitation into a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, so that you will not just give lip service to the fact that you follow the Lord, but you genuinely say, Lord, I want to follow you and I want to be serious with you. And then secondly, if you're dealing with issues in your life that you've got this deep level of offense in your life that you feel that, man, I can't get rid of this, that we'll pray for you this morning. And of course, you see, forgiveness is a decision. Just like those guys, they had a choice. You have a choice this morning to make. And whilst the team is going to be singing the song, our team will be here to pray for you. What I want is that just bring that burden that you're carrying and leave it at the cross this morning. Leave it at the foot of Jesus' feet. So if everybody would pray after me, this is an invitation for Jesus to come into your life. Heavenly Father, thank you for sending Jesus to die on the cross for me and to forgive me of my sins. Today, Lord Jesus, I repent of my sins and I ask for your forgiveness. And I receive it this day. In your name I pray. Amen. If that is you this morning, giving your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, or really committing your life to Jesus, I just want you to raise your hand so that I can see. Just raise your hands. Thank you. Father, I thank you, Lord God, that you hold our lives in your hands. And Lord, you are the potter, and we are the clay. And Father, we can trust you with our lives. We can trust, Lord God, that you see the hurt. You see the offense, Lord God, that is now started from being a pebble, but now it's a boulder that is hard to remove. Lord, but we come before you this day, and we just give it over to you. And Father, I just pray for all of us today, Lord God, that the fear of God would come upon all of us. A deep sense of awe and reverence and respect for who you are. So Father, I give you all the praise and all the glory. And everyone says, Amen. And so